It's time for Cutting Edge Consciousness with Freeman Michaels and Barnett Bain. Thought-provoking discussions and bold ideas from the edge of possibility.
And welcome to Cutting Edge Consciousness. Freeman Michaels here with my co-host,
Barnett Bain. Good morning to you, Freeman. Good morning, Barry Bordoff, producer guy. And yeah. Good morning, listeners. Nice to be here.
Yeah, so you survived jury duty.
Whoa.
That's an interesting experience. I've done that a couple times.
Man, oh man. You know, I had this jury summons.
Yeah.
I just feel like I'm constantly in a revolving door to
they like
jury
you.
Duty.
They
constantly.
Like you. Yeah.
Constantly.
You're an upstanding citizen.
I am. So I did my civic thing. I got a summons in December, and we were going out of town. So I had it moved. They allow you to move it for 90 days.
Right.
But then I don't hear back from them. And I suddenly have this thought. It's been, you know, 120 days or something. So maybe I should call before I get a call. And they tell me, well, come in. I do that on Monday. They say, well, come in tomorrow.
Oh, so nice to hear from you, Mr. Bain.
Great.
See you tomorrow.
Anyway, I go in and it brings up a lot of stuff. It brings up a lot of stuff. It brings up a lot of impatience and obligation. It brings up a whole lot of energy that is pushback. And it also brings up the opportunity for inquiry about, well, you know, this is about service and this is about contributing and about my responsibility to community. And I can hold it that way, and there are many, many ways that I can hold it. And all of that is true.
Mm.
So there is an opportunity to meet these kinds of experiences in a different way. They pull you absolutely out of your life. It's almost like a vision quest. It's almost like putting in the clutch and pulling out of your life and going up a mountain and spending some time, except it's in a crowded jury room.
Yeah.
Now, fortunately, I did not have to, I was not put on a trial, and I did not have to spend 4 or 5 days on a mountaintop.
Or months if you got a crazy trial.
If you got a crazy one. But it definitely is a triggering experience, because it definitely throws a monkey wrench in the momentum of your life, and everything grinds to a stop. And, you know, they don't want to hear, I have a life, I have commitments. They don't want to hear it.
Yeah. No, and the other thing about that, which I've experienced, anytime I'm taken out of my comfort zone, if you will, or my routine, obviously there's an opportunity. I mean, that's what we talk about all the time, is that when something isn't as we would like it to be or think it ought to be or whatever, you know, the old me got very resistant and reactive versus welcoming the mystery. Well, this is interesting. What opportunity may there be in
In this experience? And what is it going to mirror back? I've got to just share this. So
you're grinning.
I'm sitting in like the jury panel. They pull in like 40 people, and everybody sort of slouches in.
Everyone's ducking.
They're all ducking. And we're all sitting there, and the judge says, "Well, I want to hear from anybody." And he starts row by row. Anybody who has a let's put it on the table and see. You start to hear stuff. It's fantastic. The first thing I hear is from a guy who says, I'd like to be excused for religious reasons, because in my tradition we're taught not to judge.
That's fantastic. Oh, that's excellent. That's actually a really good one.
Yeah, it's a little dubious.
I know.
This begs a topic for a whole other show, this whole judgment thing, the ability to...
Right.
Any sort of discernment, left or right, is an assessment.
Right.
So that
Then you're talking about judgment as condemnation versus judgment versus as discernment.
As discernment. Chicken or fish.
Right.
Are you having the chicken or are you having the fish?
Yeah.
Well, it's not... It's, I can't judge.
I can't judge.
So... It made me laugh because I thought as I was
you didn't take his cue and say well in my tradition
it didn't go over well with the judge.
Oh, I get it. You're reading your social cues. That's beautiful.
It didn't go over well, so that was pretty great.
Well, let's talk a little more about giving up our comfort zone. I know that's something that you and I both do, and for this I'd love to invite our guest in because I think this is something that he kind of specializes in.
Absolutely. Well, you know, to crunch down an introduction to our guest, this is going to be no mean feat. We have with us today my very dear friend, Coot Blackson. Now, how am I going to introduce to folks?
He's just a great guy.
This is a great guy. This is a great guy. Yeah. This is an utterly unique visionary. Now, he's going to have to live into this billing. I want to see how much farther he gets over the bar, and he will. Coot is the son of a very, very well-known spiritual leader. He was in West Africa.
Ghana.
He was speaking in front of community groups and church groups at age 8 or 9 years old. And as a young teen, he was ordained into the ministry and groomed to carry on his family's legacy. So you don't groom Coot Blackson into anything. So that was their first mistake. He was out of there and moved to L.A. with not a lot more than a suitcase and a vision for himself.
Yep.
And he has created... He has created a life as a teacher and as a modeler of possibility.
Mm.
He leads people to the edge of their zones of familiarity, and then he takes them by the hand, and they leap together into the unknown. Would you say that's a fairly good description of what you do, my friend?
Wow. Well, what can I say? That's a pretty darn good description, and it's great to get to hang out with you guys.
Yeah, we're thrilled.
We're
to have you.
Really, really thrilled to have you here. I will add that Coot is very well known for something called transformational immersion journeys, and for something called the liberation experience. And we will talk about all of that and more, including Boundless Bliss, the Bali breakthrough experience. We'll talk about all that and more.
The thing about Coot, which I really appreciate about you, Coot, is, and you mirror for me, is that you do so many things that the message is relayed. I mean, the music videos and there's just a myriad of ways that you express something that seemingly don't fit together.
And
but
he shows up all over, no matter where you are in the world.
Right.
Coot is there. We're in Bali. We're walking down the street. Coot's there.
That's right.
I was tracking you down.
You were. I swear, Coot.
You're the mayor of Los Angeles. That guy's everywhere, too.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, Coot is definitely, definitely modeling what it is to be expressing the self in a myriad of ways, always at the edge.
And he's always got a smile on his face. I saw Coot a couple of weeks back. We were at the event, the gala, the Unstoppable Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Big smile on his face. Good to see you there, by the way.
Yes, really awesome.
And so, look, there's a certain perspective. I'm going to change the language. There's a certain permission you have that I find is extraordinary, and it's a permission to show up fully, and you do. You do with a level of exuberance and a level of confidence, being in your own skin, that I find remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate you saying that, and I appreciate you, you know, just acknowledging some of my work, and you talk about a permission to show up. And the way I really see it, if I'm honest, is I don't even really see it, guys, as like me showing up as a person, as a Coot, as this personality. What I really feel, if anything, is what's showing up and what's living and what's expressing isn't so much me as a Coot thing, you know, as a identity, as a person, but is the infinite, is the great one, is the divine, is life itself. Mm. Whatever label you want to put on it, God, you know, it doesn't really matter to me what the label is, but what I really feel more and more expressing as I've matured and, you know, left my father's churches and, you know, just gone through life over the last 12, 13, 14, 15 years is just a deeper surrender to that force, which which is living everything, and you know, it's kind of a feeling of like I feel like I'm possessed by that, you know, and I feel like that life force has me, and if anything is expressing through me, so I kind of see my role more and more as just saying yes to the impulse of life and getting myself out of the way and allowing it to express. And to be quite frank, many times, you know, I'm quite surprised by what happened.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic.
Some of these things, you know, the music video and the music CD and Bali, the Boundless Bliss, I never really planned these things. But, you know, in a state of just openness and receptivity, they were just present and aware. And, you know, I was just, I don't know, foolish enough or willing enough to say yes to it and just...
Well, willing enough to move through boundaries.
Yes.
The three of us have in common a willingness to move up to the perimeter of old patterns.
Yes.
To become very familiar with them, the terrain of them, and then to move through them and beyond them into what is unknown and what is uncertain. And that is a challenging, it challenges many earlier fixed assumptions, some of them below the waterline of our awareness. They, it causes them to surface. You have made a life's work of doing that and being that explorer personally and facilitating others to share in their own versions of that experience. So,
yeah.
What is it, Coot? How would you frame the challenge that we are all facing now, that being, and from my own perspective, that being moving to a different relationship with the thinking machine, with human beings as thinker, I think, therefore I am, to I am. And therefore, I express.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about the challenge we're all facing now, and I think really we're in really exciting times. And, you know, the last few years I've been talking about how I feel right now we're actually in perhaps the greatest spiritual revolution that the world has ever seen. And I think there's a transition happening where we're moving beyond the egoic identities that we've may be held onto as a sense of, you know, this is who I am, my mind, my thoughts, my body, the material things outside. And as things are being shaken up, we're being forced to loosen the grip of this identification with all those things that we're not. And one of those things that we're often holding onto as a sense of identity is the mind and our thinking and our thoughts. And I think what I've realized the deeper we go is that we're not the mind and we're not our thoughts. And there's so much focus, even in some of the spiritual field, that focuses on, you know, you are the thoughts and the thoughts you think. And, you know, what I found is we're not the mind, and we have 65,000 or more thoughts a day that are constantly being generated and generated by our conditioning and our past programming. And it's not even so much the thoughts that are important. It's really the importance we give them and our relationship with them, that what we really are is ultimately so much more.
Yeah. Well, our mind understands nothing but the past.
Yes.
It even goes so far as to imagine the future will be just like yesterday, like what was. And so it makes all decisions and assessments based on that.
Yes.
But there are other modulators that can see beyond the veil of what our of what our mind remembers. That is an opportunity for the great opportunity for explorers, such as yourself.
And I want to do some exploring, but first we have to pay some bills. So we're going to take a quick break.
And then we'll be right back with our explorer,
our lead explorer today.
And we're going to talk about some modalities of exploration.
Yes.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Cutting Edge Consciousness, thought-provoking discussions and bold ideas from the edge of possibility.
And we are back on Cutting Edge Consciousness. This is Barnett Bain with my co-host Freeman Michaels and our guest Coot Blackson. So before the break, Freeman, we were about to invite Coot to comment on moving beyond the boundaries.
Well, and one of the things that we were talking about, Coot, you were sort of alluding to this, this way of being able to rely on something other than thoughts to guide our experience. And I'm going to even frame it a little bit further. I'm going to talk about it in terms of developing an awareness, a confidence, tools even, to begin to pick up cues. Because so much of your life, from what I know of you, is that you have allowed yourself to be guided. You have picked up cues and stepped into a certain amount of uncertainty and mystery, and that has made a tremendous difference.
Yeah.
That's what we really want to talk about, because, I mean, I think so many of us are tied to these notions of how things have been, and therefore that's how they're going to be.
Yeah.
And that, of course, is a self-fulfilling prophecy until there's a sort of spiritual awakening and or a breakdown, if you will, of that construct, where we start to develop some other capacities and some other skills and some other ways of processing the data.
Yeah, we get conditioned. You know, we're born as children and we're alive and we're in touch with the mystery and we're in touch with our spontaneous self, full self-expression, no shame, no guilt. We're just freely expressed. And, you know, as children, we go through life and we start getting programmed by our parents, and maybe one of them's a little abusive or one of them's mean, and we go to school and the media. And as children, we start learning all sorts of ways and mechanisms and strategies to avoid pain and fit in and be approved and just survive. And we kind of sort of crunch down into we sort of hold on and become a version of ourselves that we get identified with. And it's not really who we are, but we learn that way of being as a strategy, and we hold on to that very tightly as a survival mechanism that we then call this version of ourselves me. And just, you know, we often say, well, this is just who I am. It's just who I am. But we don't realize, because we got used to it, we don't realize that we've gotten locked into an identity. And the more we get locked into that shape, that reality, that belief system, that way of thinking, that emotional patterning, the more we get locked into that, the tighter we hold into that, the less freedom we actually have to choose our thoughts, to choose our responses, to show up in the world and fully, you know, open to be guided, because we're actually being run by this pattern conditioning that we learned growing up, most of which is unconscious. So for me, it's about developing that awareness and just beginning to explore and question who we are, question our thoughts, question our emotions, have a compassionate self-exploration, and begin to unravel some of those layers and really, you know, question, like, really, is this who I am? Who am I really? And begin the exploration of feelings and emotions and exploring thoughts, you know. So
you have some pretty exotic methodologies to facilitate people to the edge of their maps and to get them to become very, very intimately acquainted with the topography and the terrain of their maps. They very, very quickly with you come to a very profound understanding of what matters to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why don't you share a little bit about what it might be like to go to a far-flung corner of the world with Coot Blackson and remember to bring your passport.
One of the things that I created about 5 years ago, I call the liberation experience. And that's where I really take a visionary leader or someone who wants to be a leader in the world up to big stuff to India, and I take away your money, I take away your passport, you have no idea where you're going. It's the true hero's journey, and you're stuck with me 24/7. You fill out your will before you leave. You write letters to everyone in your life in case you don't come back. You know nothing about the journey other than you have a backpack, a journal, and that's it. And I take you for about 14 days to India. It's a 24/7, nonstop, transformational, immersion, you know, experience where I customize and really design a radical transformational process where I feel into where your deepest limitations are, those places where you're holding on to for a sense of, you know, this is who I am. And we all have those places that we hold on to for a sense of this is who I am and this is who I am. And I kind of strip everyone, I strip you of all those holding places.
Well, I'm a filmmaker, Coot, so I need some... You're begging to supply some images here, and I know our audience wants to hear. Give us a little show and tell. Obviously, you don't have to name any names, but what's the kind of thing that has happened to the?
I put you in situations that might bring up your stuff. So we may spend 24 hours in an Indian train station where all hell breaks loose. You know, we're everywhere from the Himalayas to maybe bathing in the Ganges in Varanasi next to burning bodies, and you see bodies burning, confronting your own, you know, death and mortality. We may go into the biggest slum in Asia. Remember, I took a very, very successful entrepreneur into the biggest slum in Asia, and here's a guy who's complaining about his life, and I take him to meet my dear friend who lives in Dharavi, and we go through these winding streets where there's naked children just walking around by sewage, and I take him into a room, and there's my friend Vijay, and Vijay offers us food, and all of a sudden my friends ask the man, he realized, where do you guys live? And it's in an 8x10 room, and there's Vijay, his wife, his two children, his mother, his father, his two grandparents, and all of them, all seven or eight of them, live in this room. And my client asks him, "Are you happy?" And Vijay looks at my client and he says, "We must be happy. Of course we're happy. You know, we have life." And you get to realize that nothing outside of yourself really can determine or has the power to determine your happiness unless you allow it. So we go everywhere from a slum to the Himalayas, to the Ganges, to you name it. And it's a pretty trains, planes, automobiles, and it's a radical process. I mean, I have people dancing in the streets and doing processes in the streets and, you know, meeting with the poorest people in the world and connecting with them and just ultimately having their identity stripped away so that they can find out when you take all that stuff away that you think you are, what's left.
It's great.
And what's happened to folks? What's happened to the...
Oh, light. I mean, it's... Let me tell you, Bonner, it's radical. I mean, people come back and they crack open in such... I mean, words that I cannot even explain. Their hearts crack open. People's lives are resurrected. It's a rebirth. It's an initiation and a rebirth into... living one's true dharma, living one's true destiny, living one's true soul. It's a true hero's journey. And, I unplug people from the regular comfort zone and patterns that, you know, we think we're free. But so often in the West, you know, in L.A. or in America or in Europe or wherever part of the West we live in, we think we're free until, you know, but we don't realize that so much of our freedom is based on all these neat little things that we have set up in a neat little package and in a neat little way, like furniture in our lives. But the moment you take one thing away or you shift something in a relationship, the freedom goes out the window.
Yes, we so often, I know, I'll speak personally, for so much of the time, I confuse real change and real transformation with moving around the furniture in my own life.
Yeah.
And then I step back and I think, what a good guy am I? Look how well I've done this.
Yeah.
When of course what is going on in the basement holds the same old assumptions and beliefs and models and things, nothing really changes until we are able to own what is in the basement what's in the basement.
And what you said, Barnett, earlier, sort of where we were going, the idea that more and more of these, there's systems of thinking, there are ways that we've held the construct together, more and more they're coming apart in a very collective way. And what we're left with is a certain amount of uncertainty. What I think the offer is, Coot, from your perspective, is getting people in touch with some essential components that are qualities, if you will, that are far more valuable than the expressions that we deem valuable in the Western world.
Yeah, and absolutely. And I think to the degree you can really make peace with the unknown and to the degree you can make peace with uncertainty is to the degree you'll be free. the challenge is we're often in the West looking for a sense of peace, confidence, you know, certainty in the world. And the world is constantly uncertain, changing, impermanent, transitory, and that's not a great strategy.
Well, no. It's a great marketing strategy.
Well,
you can sell a lot of stuff if you can convince people that this will make them safe.
Yeah, that's certainly always been that's been the case for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
But nothing changes until I do.
Yep.
And there will be. I'm certainly not going to change by confronting the image in the mirror and expecting him to change.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You first.
Yeah, you first.
Yeah, and you know, and there's a part of us deep down at the core of our being, our true essence, that is unchanging.
Yeah.
You know, that is unchanging, and I feel as though that's what we must reconnect to and recognize and re-realize, because that's the source of our freedom, and it's in us all.
Yeah, this is the idea. There are the paradox, of course, is as we embrace uncertainty, there are things that we attach to that are far more certain, that are far more reliable in terms of you know, being able to count on them,
and not knowable with
right.
within the modulating devices of certainty and
right.
logic and reason
right.
and absolutes and
right.
guarantees. We cannot know life beyond that. Now,
well, it's the old. I'm sorry, the Christian line that you have to give it all up to find it. You know, that you have to give it all up in a very, not in a literal sense, but maybe in a literal sense, I don't know.
Well, it's not the giving up of the stuff.
Right.
It's the giving up of the...
Identifying with the stuff.
It's the giving up of the modulators that are the beliefs and the assumptions and the feelings and the thoughts that are so conditioned into a certain matrix that downsteps all that is into a manageable bite-sized chunk.
Right.
We want to have a bigger chunk. We're going to have to change
right.
the modulators a little bit.
Right.
And Coot Blackson is a modulator changer.
Nice.
So you are, for those of our listeners who are tempted, who are intrigued by going to India...
Or Bali.
I will
Bali.
Say you might even be more tempted and more intrigued to do the somewhat less confrontive but equally transformative experience in beautiful Bali.
Yeah.
Say a little bit about what's happening in Bali.
Well, Bali is where I gather. It's inspired by India, but, you know, it's where I gather 22 leaders and visionaries from all over the world. We've done three of these amazing journeys over the last year or so. And we gather together, and again, it's a 24/7 transformational immersion experiential. I call it seminar training without walls, where I use Bali as the seminar room, as the backdrop to soothe, to facilitate, to help really unravel people. And, you know, we gather as a group, and I really feel into where people's deepest blocks are. I create situations and processes, and we go from mountains to temples, and the whole time it's really about facilitating, kind of unscrewing and helping people unknot those places that they're holding on to that are really blocking their full expression. So again, it's an amazing journey, and I really designed it for those that have a vision of what they really want to express in the world, and they feel a calling to do that, and they've heard the call, but they want to clear away any of those blockages, any of those beliefs that they're aware of or not aware of, to really allow and give themselves permission to allow the bigness of life and grace and their true heart to flow.
So I want to just add a little piece, because you and I have been friends for quite a few years now. The folks that you work with,
yes,
are people who are very successful in life in every sense of that word. They live life rapturously, and they have a sense of they have climbed the ladder of success, and perhaps it wouldn't be an overstatement to say that often they have found to misquote Joseph Campbell, that at the top of the ladder of success it's been leaning against the wrong wall.
Yes.
Or a wall that is less than satisfying, that somehow folks have have achieved these great successes and feel that it's let them down. There's something missing.
Yeah.
And so these are precisely the kinds of folks that are able to connect with the passion and the meaning and purpose of their lives.
Yeah.
Once they have come to the deep personal understanding that getting to the top of the world and in the way of the world is not the answer. It really is just the beginning of the question.
Yeah. I mean, you summed it up right there, you know, and I think I found that a lot of these folks have also found that you might get everything you want in the world, but a life of getting and getting and more getting eventually may lead to dissatisfaction until you really tap into your true self and your authentic expression and what your gifts really are. And I think there's a whole new possibility that becomes available, a whole new paradigm of living when you tap into less about what can I get and that paradigm of getting to who am I and what can I give and how can I give who I am and give my gifts to the world. So
beautifully said. And with that, Coot, we are thrilled that you spent the time with us today and with our listeners.
Before Coot goes,
the website
for
our listeners is Coot Blackson. Tell us, I don't know which website you want to give. It's the CootBlackson.net, is that what you...
CootBlackson.com.
.com.
Yeah, and TheBoundlessBlissBali.com.
Beautiful. And so folks can check out your work there.
Love you, Coot.
Love you, man.
Thanks,
great,
man.
Guys.
Be well.
Had fun with you.
And those of you who are listening, stay tuned, because we'll be right back here on Cutting Edge Consciousness.
Welcome back to Cutting Edge Consciousness, thought-provoking discussions and bold ideas from the edge of possibility.
And welcome back to Cutting Edge Consciousness. Freeman Michaels here with Barnett Bain. Love Coot.
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, Coot is a...
Beautiful spirit.
Coot is an incredible guy.
Yeah.
He's a one-of-a-kind guy. This is a guy who is so unique. This is the kind of guy who I love because he reminds me of what is possible.
Mm.
He reminds me that I don't have to, that there is such a thing as people, ordinary people that I can relate to, not ordinary at all, but people that I can relate to and that I am, that are the same as me, and that we can just shatter the thinking, that we can just play bigger and play larger, and he knows how to play. So he's an inspiration.
Yeah.
He really is an inspiration. He knows how to play, and he knows how to be a giver. And if I come through at the end of my life and I have learned how to consciously create play and success, and I've learned how to love more, then it will have been all that I could have asked for.
Yeah.
What else is there?
Yeah. It's hard for us. It's hard for us to trust. And so much of our belief structure is that it's a zero-sum game.
And well, we've been taught, we were raised in a culture that in every institution regards it as a zero-sum game.
Yeah.
There's only so much pie. And
if you get a piece, then I'm going to get one piece less.
I'm going to get one piece less. And I have my rice bowl, and if I have to, your kids can't eat, so mine can eat. And that is it's a worldview. It's a worldview that is closed system, closed source, use a programmer's analogy. But it is not the only worldview. Now, the mind instantly goes berserk when we say that. It instantly just goes absolutely berserk with logic and reason.
Not only the mind.
Life doesn't end at logic and reason.
Yeah.
There's more to logic. There is more to life than logic and reason. But control ends at the border of logic and reason.
And what is going berserk is, look, we've attached our hurts, we've attached our disappointments to a storyline, if you will, that isn't sufficient to hold them or care for them. It's self-perpetuating. So look, the story I tell about how the world works, I, at this point in my life, even though I still repeat it, see the ineffectiveness. See it as for what it is. It's hollow. It's like the hollow egg as we come up on Easter, you know, that you think, oh, it's so beautiful. It has tinsel and foil on the outside, and you get to it, and it's this very thin layer with nothing inside. That is very much...
That's also a story.
Sure.
I mean, maybe it has something great inside. It depends on how you hold the story.
Right.
If we can get to a place, and it's per every individual.
Right.
And every individual comes to a place in their own cadence and in their own timing, where they begin to have an assessment of the stories that they've lived by, and they begin to understand that how few of them are original, how most of them are inherited.
Yeah.
And they begin to understand that, is this really an inviolable explanation of life?
Yeah.
And
that's actually precisely what I'm talking about.
No.
I'm talking about the ladder being up against the wrong wall.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the foundation being these precepts and these notions that aren't substantial, and coming at a point in life to recognize that there's far more reliable things.
Just new things.
Yeah.
You and I are both at a place in our lives where we are examining these issues really closely.
Mm.
And in my own experience, there's a part of me there's a part of me that is thrilled and excited, and then there's a part of me that is really attached to those old models and thinks, well, it was empty and it didn't feel good.
Yeah, I don't want to do
but
that.
But I don't feel
I don't
that. It isn't empty and it didn't feel good.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
It's that absent in filmmaking we have a notion of character as being proactive. You're an actor and you know this. You want a character to be proactive. You don't want them to be reactive. But unfortunately in life, more often than not, we are reactive, and we don't necessarily love and grow with a fiery passion as often as we react to hurts.
Right.
And that's what pushes us into growth. I mean, I don't think our soul is waiting for us to be disappointed to love and grow. Although, if that's what it takes, then that's what it takes. So, unfortunately, often I can get to up that ladder of success and say it was hollow and feel empty, but it doesn't have to be that way. I can also get to the ladder of success and think, well, that was fun, and what could be even more fun?
Might it be
even more fun to get off this ladder altogether and get onto something else? Maybe it would be even more fun to be a giver than to be a... It was pretty fun being a getter.
Yeah.
Maybe it would be even more fun to be a giver.
Well, and look, I mean, I think that part of what I personally am picking up is the pieces of my construct that I bought into, you know, based on the programming from the tribe, the condition that said, if I play by the rules and I get my reward, and then that's happily ever after. And I've done that. And many times I got to some pinnacle of some benchmark of success, and it was hollow. It didn't have the level of fulfillment I had anticipated.
Yeah.
Other more magical, spontaneous moments have been greatly fulfilling. What it has taught me personally is that there are... other capacities that I can bring on board that are, for me right now,
like
more
what?
Reliable. Well, okay, so we started talking about thinking as a way of processing everything. Everything's crunched down vis-a-vis logic and reason.
Mm.
You and I have been talking about it for a year and a half, that we're opening to more intuition, more of a feeling sense. And that then opens a whole myriad of possibilities that before seemed very hard to achieve. Like, what does that look like? Because I can't think my way into it. It's not
well, here's the really great news that comes up for me when you say that.
Okay.
We, because we were raised in breathing the air of logic and reason and eating the food of logic and reason, we only know logic and reason. And so a lot of the moving beyond logic and reason involves reacting and breaking out of it. And however, we didn't have models of people who were functioning more and more, adding other bits adding other resources. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a model of that. Your children do.
Hmm.
And they may not have as much, it may not be as challenging for them. I dare say probably they are already straddling what were once closely held stories.
Yeah.
They already have a foot in that story and a foot in something more loosey-goosey beyond. I don't know what it is for them. It's per every individual. But as we live more and more into that, and we are modeling that there are other possibilities in the way that Coot Blackson.
Yeah.
Coot Blackson, for me, models an entirely different relationship with life. This is a buddy of mine. So it's not like, well, this is some special being. He is a special being. But this is some like guy that I can't relate to. This is just like a pal.
Well, that's
who has a totally different relationship to life.
He does. He does. And if you hear his background, you know, you kind of get where he has these moments where his world was constructed differently, and he got was exposed to different things. I think the piece that I guess I'm alluding to, if I kind of track back a bit, is when folks go on these, he doesn't call them vision quests, but that's kind of what they are. These I can't remember the language he's using for it, but basically where their construct is questioned, where some of the things they've relied on and identified with are in essence taken away.
I call them the Humpty Dumpty expeditions.
Yes. No,
you
that's
fall
right.
off the wall and then you put yourself back together again.
Because the king's horses can't do it.
Nobody can do it. Only you can do it.
Yeah. And I think most of the people that go through that process.
Get the yoke?
It's terrifying at first. It's a relief in the end because there's an opportunity to let go of something that wasn't substantial in the first place.
My life has been substantial. It's just not.
It's more substantial now.
It's developmental.
Okay, but I'm more. Yes, I agree with you. It is developmental.
It's not fair.
I'm really grateful for all the ways that my construct has come apart, even though going through all of those things,
yes,
in large part, was excruciating.
Yes.
I'm talking about divorce, death of one of my closest family members,
yeah,
my business coming apart, all those sorts of things where everything that I had constructed, the story, if you will, that I said, this is true, this is it, this will get me there. And either it didn't, or it came apart and I realized that's not what I really want to be doing anyhow.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
I think the idea of consciously dissolving the construct, which is what's happening when folks do this. I mean, it's a conscious way of dissolving the construct. You know you're doing it, and you're going through it in dare I say, a safe-ish way. I mean, I know that Coot's having people for dramas. I mean, and I think, you know, it's fine. They're writing their last will and testament and doing all these things. But he's a reliable guy. We both know him. And so he's trustworthy in the sense that you can go with him to Bali or to India or whatever and go on this journey. And
go with him to lunch.
It's much easier to just go to lunch with him.
Coot, let's go to lunch,
all
brother.
Right. All I'm saying is that's a very, in my mind, that's a gentler way than having everything come apart.
I agree.
Like, I'm going to do this because I know it's
people,
not
people, they work where they are. You have been on this particular exploration for very, very, very many years.
Mm.
And if you had come to it more recently, you might require, or you might feel that you require a more dramatic outer experience in which to. I mean, even the language of breaking apart a construct, I held that language for many, many years.
Mm.
And I don't anymore.
Mm.
I'm not breaking apart anything. I am loving.
I know. I agree on that, too. I totally
agree.
I'm not trying to demonize.
It's not just language.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel it. I feel it very, very. It's very real for me.
Yeah.
That I have an understanding of all those parts, of all those,
yeah,
those habits, all of that desire, all of those feelings, all of that lust for status and for money and for power and for recognition and all of that stuff, I now have compassion. I understand it. It was it's okay. It wasn't bad. It wasn't terrible. It's too easy to judge it. It's not so easy to say. Coming from coming in the context of my experience, it made perfect sense.
Right.
And so I understand it. I don't want to break it. I'm not at war with it.
No, I agree with you on that. I mean, look, I think that what you're talking about is ultimately going to be a part of the process. So even if someone goes and they have this experience outside of their normal everyday sense,
eventually they're going to love it.
Eventually they do have to love it. I agree with you, because then our lives, and we see this, people who react and then disassociate from the self they've been, and we call it a spiritual premature transcendence syndrome, the desire to not be that thing that we're now pushing down and rejecting and denying and calling out as negative. It isn't. It's just development.
Every piece comes along.
Yeah, every piece.
I agree with that. Every piece comes along. And every piece, the outer world did not satisfy those needs that we projected onto it. And so now I realize, wow, but I can satisfy those needs for all those lesser, not less than, but all those lesser parts of myself that I hear from every time I was triggered. I was triggered before we got on the air. We were in a conversation, you and I, that triggered me. And, you know, I listen to it, and it takes me either a no time or some time or a lot of time to find my balance and to know what part is feeling left out or deprived or... And, you know, to understand, I love it. I don't have to be at war with it, but just to love it. It all comes along. The outside world's not going to fix it. Only I can fix it. Only I can heal it. But you can have the benefit of great friends,
beautiful,
great co-hosts, great buddies like Coot Blackson, who
wonderful
can take
man.
You around the world. At least you get a decent bowl of curry rice in Bali.
Food is great in Indonesia. Hey, and listen, with that, it's a beautiful segue. We have to say goodbye to all of our good friends. We hope that if you enjoy the show that you will pass it along to friends. We invite you to join us on Facebook, and we invite you...
Like us on Facebook, will you?
Don't just come there like
just
us.
Just like us, because we need external validation.
That's right.
After it all is said and done, we need to process that.
And we invite you, of course, to keep coming back to Cutting Edge Consciousness. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.